This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. As we were just talking about before the break, the idyllic landscapes of northern Michigan became the setting for some of Ernest Hemingway's best-known short stories, published over the years and compiled in a collection called the Nick Adams Stories, more than a decade after Hemingway died. Some students at West Bloomfield High School have been reading Hemingway, and they discovered letters from one of his protagonists, Marjorie Bump. They have had a chance to transcribe these letters to get a better understanding of the people who inspired the stories. With us to talk more about the Marjorie Bump Letters Project are Jennifer Tynan and Yael Mizrahi. Jennifer's an English teacher at West Bloomfield and secretary of the Michigan Hemingway Society, and Yael, a sophomore and honors American Lit student, is one of her pupils. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jennifer, for those who might not have caught up, who was Marjorie Bump in real life?
Marjorie Bump was a friend of Ernest Hemingway's who had met him when she was a young teenager in Petoskey. She was part of a gang of friends that Ernest Hemingway had up in Petoskey when he would go and live at Windermere during the summers there. There was a big gang of friends that he talks about throughout his own biographical remembrances. And then also they show up, they pop up throughout the Nick Adams stories. Sometimes he names them and then sometimes he renames them in fictional form.
I understand there was some dispute over whether or not Ernest Hemingway and Marjorie Bump ever had a thing going on. Do you have a perspective on that?
That's a complicated answer, because there's many answers to that question. Marge Bump's daughter, Georgiana Dickinson, wrote a book called Pip Pip to Hemingway, where Marge answers that question one way. Marge answers that question differently in the letters that we're working with, and I don't really know that I have the correct answer.
So let's just call that one a big gray area.
It is a big gray area, but I think that it's important that whatever it was, I don't think that it progressed very much past a high school romance. Let me just put it that way. I think it's important to note that it certainly wasn't anything salacious, and it certainly wasn't anything very intense.
Sure. And just to continue the thread, Marjorie Bump was a character who turned up in some of Hemingway's stories. Yael, you read the Nick Adams story, The Big Two-Hearted River, in addition to the Marge Bump stories, The End of Something and The Three-Day Blow. For those who haven't read the stories, what kind of character is Marge Bump in the stories?
Well, she's only actually in the story as a character in The End of Something. She is seen as Hemingway's, as Ms. Tynan said, either like a fling or a friendship. It's not very clear, but she's seen as a strong woman. She knows what she wants. She's smart. Sometimes that intimidates Nick Adams. But in the three-day blow, it's just Bob and Nick recovering from the breakup or the split. So you don't really see her much there, but they do reference her.
Jennifer, the world of Hemingway's time was not always kind to women who were assertive, and for that matter, women who had a lot of agency over their romantic lives. Could you tell us a little bit about, I guess, how readers reacted to Marjorie Bump when Hemingway published these stories, and how that may have colored what the way people were reacted to the real life Marjorie Bump?
It was not so much readers as much as it was biographers that did the damage, and the small town of Petoskey that had tongues wagging, so to speak. In the story, Marjorie, as Yael mentioned, comes across as a very strong woman, and Nick is the one, he breaks up with her and Nick is left crying on the blanket. And she rows off, you know, into the distance, needs no help, no tears shed. She's done. And it's really a powerful story. where she walks away looking victorious in this rowboat. And Bill is egging Nick on that, you know, he's escaped the clutches of marriage. And actually the one who gets trashed in the 3-day blow is Marge's mother. But afterwards, biographers said things about Marge without even knowing her, without ever contacting her, calling her this well-built waitress. They took the name Bump and made certain assumptions about her figure, about her standing in the town. They decried her as being low class. Bill had made some reference to that. And there's some literary criticism from Dr. Stoneback and Dr. Diker, who are preeminent Hemingway scholars, that rebut that vociferously. And that has, I think, helped to turn the tide against a long, long history of scholarship that paints Marjorie as some sort of vixen or some sort of, you know, tramp. And I welcome that. And I welcome the opportunity to set the record straight on that, because a lot of that information is just plain incorrect. The other thing that I challenged my students about, it bothered Marjorie to no end that she could not remain anonymous once those stories were published, because her real name was used in the stories. And instantly everyone in Petoskey was wondering just what had gone on between the two of them. So she moved. She got out of Petoskey and moved to Florida and burned all of her correspondence with Hemingway because she didn't want that to be left after her death. But they maintained a friendship for the rest of Hemingway's life, at least.
Right. So there is no actual first person narrative in the form of letters between Bump and Hemingway, but Marge was able to, you know, talk about this a little bit in some letters that she wrote to a bookseller who lived in New Hampshire. And those letters came into the possession of the Michigan Hemingway Society. And so that's what you're transcribing, isn't it, Jennifer?
Yes, it is. Those are the letters. And there is actually one letter at the Kennedy Library that it's a draft of a letter that Hemingway wrote to Marge that appears in the Penn State Letters Project. And also in Pip Pip to Hemingway as well. That's the only correspondence that we know of that survives between the two of them. But it gives us a fascinating insight into Marge's thinking about the story, because Donald St. John, the bookseller, did interview Marge about every last conceivable memory she had of her time with Hemingway and what she thought of the stories and the fame and everything in between.
Yael, what did you find in these letters of Marjorie Bump? Like, how did she talk about the way she'd been painted?
Well, in the letter that I transcribed, she was telling the bookseller how there was a Hemingway documentary on TV and how they discussed how Hemingway painted a picture of his parents and how she did not like the way that he described them, that they were not like that. She seemed quite frustrated. She even said in my letter that she wants to erase all of Hemingway after 1920. So I think it really depends which letters you look at. But in mine, for sure, she was not happy with the way that Hemingway was acting. And she described his personality as very know-it-all and not in a good light. But I'm sure that in some letters you'll see a different picture of Hemingway painted. But it's pretty clear that she was frustrated that her voice was basically silenced with these Nick Adams stories for the rest of her life.
Mm. It's easy to imagine how unpleasant this was for Marge, Yael. But did you find any evidence that her place in Hemingway's fiction actually affected the course of her own life?
Well, yes, it's quite apparent that it affected her own life. She moved from the small town of Petoskey to Florida, got married, her last name changed. She even said in one of her letters that she wanted to be a writer and she wanted to use her voice, but she felt like she couldn't because of this picture that was already painted of her in the Nick Adams stories. So these letters are a way for her to find her own voice even after her death.
Yael Mizrahi is a sophomore at West Bloomfield. And we've also been talking with Jennifer Tynan. She's an English teacher and also secretary of the Michigan Hemingway Society. Jennifer, Yael, it's been great talking to you. Thanks for sharing a little bit about the project.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.